Hello, Mzanzi. Welcome to another episode of Farmers Inside Track. My name is Duncan Masua, and I'm your host for this episode in our Meet the Farmer Mentor series. Now, in this episode, we are joined by Dwayne Kashula, whose diversified approach to farming has made him a standout in South Africa's agricultural sector. He runs a mixed farming operation that includes maize, potatoes, livestock, game, and egg production. Now, based in Maclear in the Eastern Cape, Dwayne runs the Confluence Farming Enterprise, where they balance risks and rewards across different commodities to ensure a steady income stream. His hard work and innovative thinking earned him 2024's Toyota Agrius a Young Farmer of the Year award, walking away with a brand new Toyota Hilux Bucky. But as the team as Toyota would say, it's not a Bucky, but a Hilux. I'm correct, right, Dwayne?
That's correct, 100%.
Thank you so much for joining us. You've sort of been well documented across various media platforms, your journey into agriculture and also following that award that you won last year. But for those of the farming community that may not know you, that may not be aware of your story, share with us, brother, your journey into farming and what inspired you.
Duncan, thanks so much. It's a privilege to be able to chat to you. I feel I was born to be part of agriculture, born to be a farmer. And from a young age, as I say, since I can remember myself, always hands in the ground to do with animals, running around on the farm. I feel I was really born to be part of this industry. And from a young age, started working for a commercial farmer and added a lot of value to my knowledge from running a business and actually doing the day-to-day things. And now I was the manager on the farm, got a few cattle from my dad. From there, started using my salary to actually pay for grazing from my previous boss where my cattle ran and grow the stock numbers. And yeah, from there, I started buying in animals from our neighbors and adding values, selling the animals to the abattoirs, taking that profit and actually growing my herd. So yeah, and selling my young wiener calves and investing all that money back into females and started growing my herd from there. From my side, it's always been a passion and I started off with the animals and with the glory from the Lord from there, just things grew from there. So that's basically where my journey started. I've never looked back from there and then ended up year 2006 managing to buy my own farm. And from there, we've moved on and here I run our agricultural farming business of our own today.
Sounds impressive. Let's quickly set the scene. You know, I mentioned in the introduction, the farming enterprise focuses on maize, potatoes, livestock, egg production, and I understand game as well. But let's set the scene quickly. Take us through your business in terms of scale. What are we talking about?
At this stage, once again, everything that's happened here is grown from baby steps up to where we are now. And obviously, our motto is always to grow, but grow sustainable. So yeah, we plant around about between 90 and 100 hectares of commercial potatoes for the commercial market. And we plant around about 500 hectares of different grains, then composing of maize, sunflowers, and sugar beans. We've got about 150 hectares, which is then under irrigation. Currently sitting around about 50,000 layers, obviously also looking to expand that business. And then on the livestock side, we have commercial herd, 500-600 breeding cows, commercial herd. And then we run a newly started few years ago, a Brangus and an Angus stud, which we obviously looking to slowly but surely change over our commercial cattle, all to be stud cattle. And then on the game side as well, we have a bit of a diversified portfolio. I'm looking to add value currently in the hunting industry. Personally, we haven't really been involved in the hunting industry, but looking to venture into that as well. Currently just setting into the outfit market and into the hunting market. A bit diversification, different color variants, all your wildebeest, golden wildebeest, king's wildebeest, buffalo, waterbuck, lechwe. So I've always concentrated to try and get hold of the best genetics possible. So we try and also supply breeding animals into the breeding market. So that's more or less where we're sitting at the moment. And then on the sideline, we do a bit of all goat stud as well. A few hundred ewes that we do a bit of a all goat stud. So that's more or less what we're doing at the moment.
You know, Dwayne, what I love about this podcast is that we get to introduce our audience, which is predominantly small-scale farmers and farmers that are busy commercializing. And we get to introduce them to people that have sort of walked the path that they are busy walking. Just listening to your story in terms of the business and the scale thereof, I'm really excited about the conversation that we're about to have. It sounds like it all started off with livestock when it comes to the farming enterprise. What exactly came first in your farming business?
It's always something that I quote. It's not about how you start, it's about how you end. Everybody's road might be different, but the possibilities, if your dream's there, you always get it. So we started off with livestock, so basically commercial cattle breeding. That's where it all started, and then went on to the maize. Something obviously I knew from where I previously worked. I knew a bit of maize, and obviously maize being a big factor in the beef industry as well. So I immediately thought, well, I need to start with a bit of maize for feed for my cattle. And then I started a small scale feedlot on the farm as well to use, because I've always used some of my maize. I've always been a firm believer to try and utilize my products to the fullest benefit of the farming industry in whole. So yeah, from the maize, it went to potatoes, which then obviously from my side, I also had to think about a cash flow crop as well, because livestock and maize being quite secluded to a short cash flow marketing period within the business. I ventured into the potatoes, luckily having previous experience where I was working, so I gained a massive amount of experience. Potatoes is quite a temperamental crop, so it was to my benefit, the previous experience that I had. And then from there, we went into the game side of things, which ventured into the game industry, and then into the goat industry, basically. And then within the same time, upgrading a lot of my commercial cattle to stud cattle in the Brangus industry, and then venturing in buying some Angus stud females, so starting the Angus stud as well. Our latest addition, venturing into the egg industry, the egg production side of things.
Wow, it's impressive to me. Diversification obviously being quite important in agriculture, in the agricultural landscape today. I'm wondering, you know, how do you decide which commodity to go for? What kind of decision-making process was involved in that to say that, okay, we're now moving into maize and we're now moving into potatoes and we're now moving into game? Were you quite strategic about your approach?
In the beginning, obviously, moving from the maize to the potatoes, it was obviously from a personal side of things, crops I had previous knowledge with actually growing the crop. But since then, I've had a slight bit of a mind shift change from my side. If I ever look into new diversification in the farming industry with what I'm currently busy with, my main focus is what is the end product. From a marketing side of it, it's become a massive spotlight for me. At the end of the day, I'm always looking into something where I can actually get a product out of the farming industry, which me as person can actually get that product as close as possible to the end user. Because I feel that within the agricultural industry, there's a big gap between the product produced and the end user. And I think there's a lot of gray areas there. And I feel from us as farmers, I think we lose a lot of income in that area. So for me personally, it's something that I've really concentrated on. And if I ever look at operations, I really go and investigate the marketing and the usage of that product, and obviously looking at a product that is well used in the food industry type of thing. So for me, it's changed from just about what I can actually produce to what I can sell in the best of my ability and add the most value possible. That's how my decisions have been based.
Suppose the lesson here is know what you're getting yourself into.
For sure, 100%. And as I say, be prepared to take on the full challenge, basically not actually just growing the product, but actually getting that product as close as possible to the table at the end user, and you've been part of that journey.
Duane, agriculture comes with a host of risk. You mentioned potatoes being quite a temperamental crop. Apart from your impressive diversification strategy, what strategies do you use to mitigate risks across your enterprise?
That's unfortunately one part of agriculture that is a big thing, is risks. There's a massive amount of risk. So from our side, we try and use crop insurance, obviously, as far as what we possibly can on our crops. Yeah, as one of our tools against the risk. So crop insurance is something that we use. And then obviously from a farming side of it, knowledge of the crops and spreading risks on when to plant what crops, and obviously spread your planting times. Obviously not with all the crops. You can't do it with all the crops. With grains and whatever, obviously you've got a certain amount of time that they have to go into the ground. But through things like potatoes, yeah, what I didn't mention, we do a bit of cabbage as well. So like with things like cabbage and potatoes, which is high risk against hail and weather, which we are prone to get here because we're close to the Drakensberg Mountain. So we get very big storms. So it's something to spread your planting dates over quite a few months so that your crops are in different stages at different times, which is mitigating risk. And then obviously with me going into the layer industry side of things, it's within the agricultural industry and fits into my basically portfolio of what I do, but obviously it's under roof. So there's a massive amount of risk, but it's obviously different risk profiles to what you'd have on a potato crop or on a cabbage crop. So it's trying to diversify as much as possible, but still keeping things that you can manage everything type of thing. So that's basically at this stage, it's not a silver bullet, but it's something that you try and do the best to your ability to manage it.
I often wonder, Duane, with agricultural enterprises that are so diversified and operate on such a huge scale, what is the approach when it comes to finance and budgeting? How do you balance the financial and operational demands of managing a multiple farming venture? How do you decide which commodity gets more financial investment over the others?
Duncan, yeah, that is a massive task, especially as you say, having a few different operations. And that's where Kathy comes into the operation as well. She's hands-on on the financial side and on the admin side of things and keeping strict data. We really try and keep very strict data on each operation on the farm and obviously evaluate each operation after each season. So it's something that obviously within the agricultural industry that I think a farmer understands better than anyone else. I think everything goes through market fluctuations, cycles. So it's something that you can't just base on one season. From our side, we obviously evaluate each operation. And obviously, we've got our main operations, which we put a lot more spotlight onto from a financial tracking side and cash flows and actually making sure that we're following what our budgets are. It's not always an easy task in agriculture because there's always something popping up. It's being strict on yourself and actually, from my side personally, if you're involved in agriculture, everything goes back into agriculture type of thing. You have to diversify out of agriculture if you can. But for me, I try and make sure that, as I say, sometimes where things are negative, it's where you must really go and look into, because a lot of times that is where there's opportunities to invest in within the agricultural industry. So something that I've definitely learned is investigate where things are negative, and sometimes there's always opportunities in that. Managing the financial side is definitely not an easy task, but it's something you have to be really strict with and stick to your budgets and to your cash flows as best as possible.
Duane, depending on who you ask, there's a buzzword that is going around, and that is sustainability. How do you define sustainability in the context of your farming operation?
Sustainability, as you say, it is definitely a buzzword, but it's a very legit word, I think, within the agricultural industry. But it's something that obviously every operation, as you say, it's got its different manners and ways of doing it. From my side, at the end of the day, sustainability is to produce the best product at the best cost and market it for the most that you possibly can at the end. So it's about producing high efficiently and marketing very efficiently. So from my side, adding value is a massive focus point for me. So from a farming side of it, I want to do it the best I possibly can. I want to get the best yields, best quality. But then I take the other side of it and say, well, how can I market it the best? So I think sustainability is to get your produce as close as possible, once again, to the end user. But still, once again, you have to make sure that you're extremely efficient on the growing side of that product to get it onto the truck, the best, basically, financial costing that you can. So, yeah, from my side, diversification and value add is my focus points to farm sustainably.
Duane, I'm not a farmer, so I'm not the expert here, but I would imagine that with sustainability, there's costs involved, and I often wonder about the true cost of sustainability. What are the most significant financial investments, would you say, that are required to implement sustainable practice? And what has been the case on your farm?
It's definitely a question that, once again, can be answered in different manners. But I think from my side, to be sustainable, I think there's a lot of costs involved, and you have to be very strategic about how you go about that, because you can very easily get carried away with certain things that actually, at the end of the day, it makes sense, but financially it doesn't make sense. So you have to be really, as I say, be strategic on sustainability, on making sure that your whole setup goes about sustainability, but costs also, it must be sustainable to do whatever you want to do to add value on that. Resources, it's obviously, it once again, has to make sense. A chap can take the risk on going to banks and getting resources to add value and add value to increase your sustainability. But once again, I think the Bottom line is to make sure whatever diversification you're taking to add sustainability, that it's actually adding financial benefits to the business.
And I suppose depending on the scale of business and resources available, Farmer A's approach to sustainability might be different to Farmer B and C.
100%. That's why I say each one's got a different approach on how they see. And I think at the end of the day, I think it also all depends on what your goal is. As I say, each one has got a different goal and each one's got a different perception where they want their business to be in a certain amount of time. So I think all those things go about you as a person and obviously what your appetite is towards risk and reward. It's a very personal approach to that question, how you approach it and how you do things.
Dwayne, if I had to ask you, what are some of the key factors that are unique to you that you believe have contributed to the growth of your farming enterprise? What would those be?
Firstly, as I say, for me as a person, every season to me is like a reset button on a computer. So every season when I go out and I start planting maize or start doing anything, it's a massive challenge and it's a massive risk and reward. And it's a very big reward to me doing something and actually taking off a good crop and having good quality products. So for me as in person, I challenge myself every year to be better than what I was the previous year. So that is a big thing for me personally, but from a business side is value add to our products. I really feel that that's made a massive difference in our business and then growing our product range. As I say, going out there and actually being in the retail industry or getting to know the retail industry. Obviously, if you have got a slight bit of a bigger basket, the guys do look at you more. You can, because all those guys, they've got a massive amount of responsibility on their shoulders. If you deliver a good service and you're known to deliver a good product, the guys start actually believing in your products, becomes a much easier road. So growing a product range and then really putting effort into marketing. At the end of the day, we've gone for a number of years and put a lot of effort into marketing. We've definitely picked the fruits of that. So yeah, I would say that's one of the things that in the farming setup itself is diversification and actually within the setup, certain avenues of the farm using other avenues like our chicken industry, our chicken side of things, using our own maize. So we're actually indirectly adding value to our maize within the farming industry. So you try and see how much value you can add to your products yourself and actually at the end have a product that's more sustainable to sell and easier to sell and which you don't have as much competition in the market to basically be able to realize a better price for your product.
Very impressive. The way with that said, like I mentioned, our audience is predominantly small-scale farmers and aspiring commercial farmers. Top tips for our listeners.
From my side, I've always been stuck to the thing, if you have a dream, no matter what your background, no matter what resources you've got, if you've got a dream, as I say, the road to your dream will definitely take turns to what you think the road's going to be to your dream. But if you've got a dream, always basically chase it and always, no matter what, how bumpy the road gets, basically stick to your dream and make sure that your end goal stays there. And at the end of the day, in agriculture, it's not easy. It's definitely not an easy industry to come into, but it's worthwhile for young farmers as well. It's not an industry where there's a quick buck to be made. It's a long-term process, and it's a process that you actually, as I say, at the end of the day, you're reaping your rewards every day of your work. And that's basically the ethics of agriculture, is reaping your hard work every day. And that's what makes it special. And then not to be caught up in the negatives. I think there's a massive amount of negatives out here. And at the end of the day, I just always, when something is negative, I always try and look at it and to say, in every negative, there's a positive. And for me as a person, is always to try and actually see the positive in the negative. And if you start seeing the positives in the negatives, as I say, becoming in a league of your own, if I can put it that way, because at the end of the day, you actually start making something from nothing. And I've just felt that a lot of big businesses of enterprises have actually built from negative stories where people saw no benefit in that and somebody saw the benefit and has made a massive business and a success out of it. So it's to actually see a positive in a negative environment.
That was, of course, Dwayne Kashula, farmer and owner of Confluence Farming Enterprise. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodfromzanzi.co.za. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.
Africa's dopest gathering for young farmers is back. Don't miss your chance to join the who's who of agriculture, from top-tier experts to game-changing farmers, at the Mzansi Young Farmers Indaba on the 1st and 2nd April 2025 in Pretoria. Early bird tickets are now available, so head to farmingindaba.com to get your full access pass for a discounted price. That's farmingindaba.com for early bird access to a full access pass. Don't miss out.